Blog Talk Radio.
John Rated. Okay, just a plain intro. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Cave from Spook Show. And to my right, as you look at your radio dial.
I'm right. I can never tell right up. Dave Baker from Wayne's Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And next to me is...
Greetings and felicitations. This is CW saying, cruising down the highway, watch that radio program because we're going to run it over.
It's right. and then we're going to split out of here.
Another hit run. Yep,
that's
another
right.
Hit run.
We're going to split like the devil.
Careening down the highway.
That's my normal way of driving, or it was when I was a dumb youth. But I'm here to tell the tale and to bring you some more, along with Dave and CW, as we do have one more hit and run, and it's Saturday. Why not? Another CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Indeed. Well, their idea from the producer, the great producer, Hyman Brown, which Dale always gets his kick out of his name. They call him Hi. They call him
I'll
Hi.
I'll never forget the first time I heard his name.
Oh!
Yes, right. Unforgettable.
And his wife's first name rhymes with Doris.
Doris?
That's for all the Seinfeld fans out there. They may get
okay.
That.
Yeah. Hit and run time today. Our tale tonight is called And Nothing But the Truth. So I have a feeling there's going to be some courtroom drama mayhap.
I got to thinking after you asked, had any of us ever seen or been part of a hit and run, and I had forgotten about this. It was just like 1:15 in the morning. I had taken my ex to the hospital, and I was heading home, and the car came up and sideswiped me, and I was just so angry that I started chasing it through Goodyear Heights. Now, this is a big, like, 8-cylinder car, and here I was in my little Ford Escort trying to follow this thing along. And I knew I couldn't follow, but I knew my way around the neighborhood, so I took different cuts and shortcuts. And every time he turned around, he'd see my taillights trying to catch up to him. Eventually, I gave it up and thought better of it. But said, well, what the heck would I do if I caught up with him? You know,
yeah, it's like
he'd probably get out. He'd probably beat the snot out of me. But he'd probably beat the snot out of me. But but I had kind of forgotten all about that. Though I started thinking about these things. So I mean, it was just so late, and I was already frustrated. And this guy comes by, and it's just a regular road. And he goes to pass me, and swoop, just hits me outside. You know, and it didn't even leave a mark when I finally got home and looked at it. But yeah.
But still, yeah. I mean, someone could have had the courtesy to say, "Hey, everybody, cool," and you know, everybody.
Yeah,
it
could be that he didn't actually tend to brush me. He just was. I wasn't going fast enough on a side road for him. I guess. I don't know.
Well, how rude going the speed limit.
Shame on myself. I know.
The nerve of some people. How about you, CW? Have you ever been a witness to or a participant in a hit and run?
And relationships don't count.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Not. We weren't going there. Of the vehicular type.
Of the vehicular variety. No, I have never partaken of nor made witness to said hit and run. I saw someone hit, but they didn't run. They actually turned
around.
There was
no running after that.
No.
I'm sorry.
So I saw half, 50% of that. I've been privy to. the hit, but not the run.
The hit, but not the run. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately for me, I've been party of many a hit. I should have ran.
had lots of warning.
Hey, I'm alive to tell the tale. It's good. Good news. We're gonna have some fun tonight with our last hit and run tale. We're into September.
Yes, we are.
Pre-Halloween season. Pre-Halloween.
Yeah. Yep. Pre-ween.
Case
pre-ween,
in point.
Okay. Yes.
Can one always keep a Michael Myers mask in your vehicle just in case you do have a hit and run? So if someone comes by and just you slowly turn to look at them.
You should do that anyway, driving around.
Yeah.
Why wait for Halloween?
I tried that once, but they told me my face was scarier than the mask. So, you know.
There's actually someone does that, I think, on YouTube, drives around with a Michael Myers mask and pulls up to people, watches them. And like, some people are cool and they laugh, but some people absolutely lose their stuff over it. It's funny.
Especially if you roll down the window, if you hear the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to have the music. Oh, goodness.
Well. So let's start cruising down your neighborhood someday, folks.
Oh, you know what? I would love to have an eerie house blast. I have a pretty big property, and I love cooking and grilling. I am sure I could come up with some vegetarian dishes. We do have salad. In fact, I was telling Dave and Gar offline yesterday, I pulled up already about 7 or 8 pounds of potatoes with at least that many to go.
Now, I have a question. Since cows are vegetarians, wouldn't that make the beef vegetarian beef?
No.
We're crossing a line, man.
Yeah. Dave, even I wouldn't.
Wondering.
Steve, even I wouldn't do that to her.
No, just saying. You know, if they are vegetarians and they're eating that, then maybe what's left of them is vegetarian. It's vegetarian beef. That's what it is. Right? Right?
Probably not.
I don't think so. Into a science I've never been introduced to.
He's making my head hurt thinking about it.
This is almost as painful as algebra, so.
Yeah, there you go. It hurts like algebra.
So with all those potatoes, you can Forrest Gump it. You got boiled potatoes, baked potatoes, fried potatoes, sautéed potatoes, cheesy baked potatoes.
Potatoes and shrimp, shrimp and sausage, shrimp stew. Yep, I get it. Good times. Yep.
Meat tater, I like that.
There you go. Let's jump into part one of our feature tonight. Any actors or actresses
at least one of my favorites from Mystery Theater, Mr. Arnold Moss, is back in this one again. What the great, great voice that he has. And
great
this is an early one, Dale. A very early one, episode number 18. Ooh. And comes to us from January 23rd of 1974.
It's more music from KIXI. Dial 91 AM or 96 FM. Seattle.
Time, 10 o'clock.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Thank you.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of terrifying imagination. Of all the great killers of history, perhaps the deadliest and most terrifying is the automobile. Nero, Attila the Hun, Lorenzo de' Medici, Bluebeard, even artillery fire and the ultimate, the atom bomb, at least have a purpose, a reason, a rationale. But the automobile maims or kills mindlessly, senselessly. For example,
Oh, shut up, you fool.
If you just let Big Daddy help you out, all you...
You can't help me, Big Daddy. Something's to hit something. Somebody. Split. I gotta split.
Our mystery drama, And Nothing But the Truth, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Arnold Moss. It is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll return shortly with Act One.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K presents
The Good, the Bad, and the Heavy.
Why is that cowboy wearing a ball and chain?
Because carrying around extra pounds can be just like carrying around a ball and chain.
How symbolic.
Well, it is, senor.
Give me the Special K breakfast.
Here you go. Four Special K, skim milk, orange juice, and coffee. Say, don't I know you from someplace?
You probably don't recognize me with my ball and chain. I used to be 10 pounds lighter, but I'm getting back that way by exercising and eating smart at every meal. Starting with this here Special K breakfast.
What's so special?
It's less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious. It's going to help me get rid of this here ball and chain.
I bet your horse will be glad to hear that.
Another ball and chain fights the gust.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K.
That's right.
Good night.
We wish to thank the many listeners who have called and written KIXI, complimenting us on the new CBS Mystery Theater, aired nightly on KIXI at 10:07 p.m. However, we have received many calls requesting the program be aired on KIXI FM every night instead of Sundays only. One of the reasons cited is the problem many of our listeners have in receiving KIXI clearly over their AM radio because of various signal difficulties. In an effort to eliminate these signal problems, KIXI has applied for an increase in power to 50,000 watts. We need your help. If you can't sufficiently hear us, please write KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. That's KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. Thank you.
Was the accident we heard a few minutes ago another statistic of the road? An innocent victim? A careless driver? The victim's family broken and lost? A young man whose carelessness had blighted a bright new manhood and a promising career? Or was the driver lucky this time? Lucky in a way far beyond his hope or expectation? We're about to find out. With David, the young driver, as he paces his living room floor, waiting for his father to come home.
Dad?
David. David, what are you doing up at this hour?
I didn't hear you come in. I thought you'd never get home. Where you been?
Well, now do I have to start answering to you for my whereabouts?
What? Oh, you mean like mother?
Yes, like your mother.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Well, for your information, I was working, correcting term papers. It wasn't that I... David, I'm very tired.
You all right, Dad? You look like you had an attack or something.
Well, don't be silly. I said I was tired. What's wrong with you? You've been drinking.
Yes, I wish I hadn't, but I didn't.
Okay, son, take it easy. Whatever it is, we'll work it out. Where's your sports car? Didn't you have it out tonight?
Yes, I left it parked on the street.
Well, you better put it away. There's no sense in leaving it out in this rain.
Dad, I've got to talk to you. It's about the car.
What about the car?
I didn't know what to do. I hit the panic button. I ran.
What else did you hit?
Someone. A man. I'm pretty sure. Down near the railroad. You know where the big curve comes around by the station opposite Franny's place? I think it was one of those old winos that hang around there. Dad, I swear I never saw him with all that rain and the fog.
Was there anyone else around?
I didn't see anyone. I should have stopped, but all I could think of was that I'd been drinking and the scholarship coming up, and if anything happened, it would kill Mom. And before I knew it, I was running away. I've been going crazy waiting for you to get home. I'm scared, too, but I guess I ought to go to the police.
Does your mother know about this?
No.
Okay. When did it happen?
2:00, almost on the nose.
2 this morning?
Yeah.
By the railroad, you say?
Yeah, I just came off Stratfield, and I took the corner into the Big Bend on Hills Point.
I get the picture. Okay. Now go in the kitchen and wait for me. And no matter what, don't let your mother get involved.
Where are you going?
I'm going to have a look at your car.
Well, I'll come with you.
You'll do as I say from here on in. Now you go to the kitchen. I'll be right back.
What are you going to do?
I'm not sure yet. But just... Well, maybe there's a way to get off the spot. Your mother still asleep?
I guess so. She hasn't been down.
There's a dent in your front right fender. Was that there before tonight?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I simonized the car yesterday. Does it look bad?
Well, not to... Well, it must have been a glancing blow.
You mean maybe it's going to be all right?
Maybe.
Oh, I don't think I could hurt him too bad. And a night like tonight, you know, who'd be hanging around?
It isn't going to be all that easy, David. They might be able to trace the car.
How?
You're missing a front right hubcap. There aren't that many Harley 584s in this town.
So I'll have to give myself up.
No. Let's figure this out. Was your mother up when you went out tonight?
I don't know if she was asleep, but she wasn't downstairs.
Well, then she didn't see what car you took.
No.
Did she see me leave? I mean... Did she look out of the window or anything?
No. She was just sitting in the big chair by the fireplace, crying.
Crying?
You know, the usual.
Then I was off once again to the arms of another woman,
Like that.
Well, you don't believe all that talk, do you?
Look, Dad, we've been down this road before. I'm not making any judgment.
I'm not asking you to sit in judgment on me. I asked for a simple reaction between a father and a son. I'm sorry, David. I didn't mean to blow up.
I guess we're both a little shook tonight. But you ought to know by now where I stand. It's just, well, I know Mom gets a lot of screwy notions, but all the same, I'm sorry for her. She's so lost and, well, I'm always afraid that any little thing might push her right over the edge. Like tonight, oh, Dad, what am I going to do?
That's what we're going to figure out right now. I got a few more questions. You say the accident happened at 2:00 or so, right?
Just as I said, almost exactly.
Now, how do you know that?
I was listening to Long Jack, and he was just going into a last commercial before he went off the air. The disc he was spinning was just ending, and, well, when I hit the guy.
What was the record?
An oldie, Easy to Love.
And you hit this man just after you turned off Stratfield into Hills Point.
Yeah.
He suddenly stepped off the curb.
Like out of nowhere.
How fast were you going?
Gee, Dad,
Now, come on, don't pussyfoot with me.
Too fast. I took the corner pretty wide.
Did you skid?
Yeah, it was pretty slick from the rain.
And there was no one else around?
No.
You're sure?
Yeah, I opened the door to look out. There was no one. That's why I lost my nerve and cut out. Well, I better get down and find out.
You stay right where you are.
It's after four. The longer I wait, the worse it will be for me.
You're not going to be involved in this at all, David.
What do you mean?
I mean, you were driving the station wagon tonight. I was the one who was driving the sports car, and I'm going to the precinct house right now to report that I hit a man and left the scene of the accident.
Dad, I can't let you do that.
Don't be a fool. I'm not on the verge of getting a full scholarship to Harvard. I haven't been drinking. I'm not a teenager with two strikes against him as a driver to begin with. I'm a full college professor with a distinguished record who is coming home on a foul night with visibility almost zero, dead tired, after correcting 200 term papers. I can stand the gaff, and you can't.
No, sir, Dad. I thank you, and I admire you, but I hope to God I'm enough of a man not to hide behind my father's pants.
You'd better think of it as your mother's skirts. Your mother couldn't care less what happens to me, but you're a different story. You get in big trouble over this, and it could kill her. Worse still, drive her over that edge we both worry about.
But, Dad, I...
Don't argue. This is the way it's going to be. You just let me handle it, and you keep your mouth shut no matter what happens.
I don't know what to say.
I'll tell you what you're going to say. Nothing. Nothing to anyone.
But, Mom...
Least of all to your mother.
Okay, Dad, if that's the way you want it. Oh, how can I thank you? You're some kind of a guy.
No, David. Just the most sensible way out of a bad situation. I'd better get down to the police. Don't wait up. I may be a while. It's still raining. You got the keys.
Sorry, right here. And thanks, Dad, for everything.
This will all work out for the best. I think I hear your mother moving about.
If she comes down, what do I say?
What we've agreed on is the truth. And I've gone to the precinct house to report that I'm a hit-and-run driver, right?
Right. I'll never forget what you're doing for me.
And for your mother. For all of us.
Grant, is that you?
No, Mom, it's me, David.
Oh, I thought I heard your father come home a little while ago. What are you doing at the front door?
I
better calm down. What's going on? I heard voices, angry voices.
That was Dad and me. Not angry, we were just discussing something.
Then where's Grant now? Yes, I heard a door slam. Did he go out again?
Yes.
Not another woman. Not two in one night.
Why don't you give him a break once? He was at the college correcting papers.
And where's he off to now?
Mom, it's kind of damp in the hall. Let's go into the living room and sit down.
Don't tell me he's finally taken off for good with one of his bed partners.
Oh, Mother, have a heart. Why can't you see what a right guy Dad is?
Maybe I've known him too long. So what errand took him out of the house again at 4:20 in the morning?
He's gone to the local precinct to confess to a hit and run.
Yes, madam, I understand. I'll have some officers on the way immediately. Well, these are experts in the bomb squad. Oh, yes, ma'am. All the latest equipment. Thank you, ma'am. We do our best at the police department.
Full moon time again, huh, Lieutenant?
Oh, yeah, Reese. The crazies are out on the broom tonight. There was some dingling just saw a UFO land in her backyard. How was your hit and run?
Oh, no sweat. Some old wino stumbled off the curb, got his rear end creased. They took him to St. Elizabeth's. Anything on the general bulletin?
Nah, it's small stuff. Mugging in the second precinct. It's a gas station hold up in the fifth.
Uh-huh.
I want to hear something new. That's a 12th. Nah, nothing. A code 2, see the man. Some citizen reports a smell of gas in his apartment house, possible suicide. It's nothing worth our brains. What's that in your hand?
Ah, it's a hubcap. A clue from the scene of the hit and run.
Oh, let me have a look in.
Mm-hmm.
English make. Probably from a Harley. Or some sport car like that.
Found on the scene?
Uh-huh. About 75 yards away. No proof it had anything to do with the hit and run.
How's the victim?
Condition fair when the ambulance picked him up. He only got struck a glancing blow.
That still don't make no never mind. The perpetrator cut out. I want him brought in.
Oh, so do I. But it may be a little rough. Even if we find the car this belongs to, it doesn't prove it was lost hitting the victim. Could have been loose and just fallen off.
So you think we don't make the guy, huh?
My educated guess is that the odds are not so high.
Yeah, Brady, what is it? You don't say. I'm with you now, huh? Well, how about that? Yeah, bring him right in. Educated guess, huh?
I was wrong.
Couldn't be wronger. Guy named Williams just came to the desk and confessed to making the hit and run. He's on the way in. You and he should get on together just handy. Guy's a college professor.
Your father hit someone with the sports car tonight? But that's impossible.
How can you say that, Mom?
Because he wasn't driving that car tonight.
How do you know? You didn't see him leave?
Nope. I was awake when he drove in, and I could swear, I know he was driving the station wagon.
A father's sacrifice for his son. Surely a noble, if perhaps misguided, gesture. The question, of course, is, should a young man, or anyone, be encouraged to evade responsibility? And will this simple act of altruism remain just that? We'll find out shortly when we return with Act Two.
I'm High Brown, producer of Radio Mystery Theater. We're in our third week of original radio dramas, and I'm glad to report we're not the only ones who are excited about it. A listener in Texas writes, it's the best thing to happen to radio in years. We'd like your comments, too. Right now, we're in the last week of drawings for valuable prizes, 50 of them. Two AM-FM stereophonos, two travel clock radios, and 46 anthologies of modern suspense. To be eligible, just send us your name and address. Add your comments if you like. The address, Mystery Theater, Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. That's Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. Entries must be postmarked no later than Saturday, January 26th. Offer good everywhere unless locally prohibited.
It is not prohibited here, that's for sure.
Nope.
Well, that's
I have one of those anthologies of horror. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I...
Why would they only give away 46 of those books that they published? That's weird. Weird number.
I know. What is 46? It sounds a little sketchy to me. I mean,
yeah,
40,
I know. 42 I could understand. 60. That's the answer to everything.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's right. But you know, they gave away more alarm clocks than they did their own books. Their own books had to be cheaper than alarm clocks.
Alarm clocks.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that.
How much of a wind up alarm clock? Ring.
Oh gosh.
My grandfather,
it's been a while
those,
since I've
most
seen
of his
one of those.
Whole life, he had one of those. Yeah. Oh my.
Goodness.
So interesting tale going on here. Son hit and run. Dad going to take the blame.
Yeah, I don't know
odd.
If I'd be teaching my kids to lie to the authorities. You know, that's maybe not the best parenting in the world.
Okay, kids. Now, remember the lesson for today. Lie to the authorities. Good
or
one.
Or put it another way, do as I say, not as I do.
Yep. There could be a whole lot more to it than that, but... We will see what we will see. Actually, that doesn't even come till Act 3, but we got Act 2 coming up next.
Yeah, indeed. We might as well hit it now with
yes.
Nothing but the tooth, part tooth.
We hope you're enjoying our new CBS Mystery Theater. It's another addition to our KIXI programming we're very proud of. We've made quite a few additions in the past year. For instance, we've added 1,000 people to our news team. People like Walter Cronkite, Dan Rather, Wynn Elliott, Douglas Edwards, Mike Wallace. Just six of the more than 1,000 CBS reporters who help make KIXI Seattle's number one news service. And in the morning, we provide the only 90-minute news service in the area, 7 to 8:30 each morning, Monday through Friday. The complete CBS news team, plus Seattle's best local coverage and up-to-the-second traffic reports. This is Dean Smith. Join me and Bob Little, Ken Stewart, Clarence McDaniels, Norm Bobrow, Gary Jeanette, plus Chet Huntley, Charles Osgood, and the CBS news team for Seattle's best news coverage. 90 minutes of news each day, Monday through Friday, 7 to 8:30 a.m. here on KIXI 91 a.m., 96 FM, where the listeners are.
A precinct house in a large city, even at the best of times, is never the most prepossessing spot in the world. In the dog hours of the morning, dusty, dingy, tired paint peeling from the walls, half-empty coffee containers with cigar and cigarette butts floating in them, it is certainly one of the most depressing, or so Grant feels as he dictates his false confession.
Well, as I say, I was dog-tired, very sleepy. It was only when I was putting the car away in the garage and I noticed a dent in the fender and found that one of the hubcaps was missing, then I began to realize with horror that I might have hit an animal, an opossum or something. It never occurred to me that it might have been a human being. Well, I would have returned right away, but my wife, who has not been well recently, well, she was up. She was waiting for me, and I didn't want to alarm her. And so I coaxed her back to bed and to sleep, and I came here just as soon as I could.
And this was what time, Professor?
Almost exactly 2 o'clock.
And you could fix the time because you were listening to Long Jack on the car radio and he was signing off.
You like acid rock, Mr. Williams?
I beg your pardon?
Acid rock. You know, the big hard beat, loud enough to blow your mind.
Oh, no, I don't. Why?
Well, that's Long Jack's bag. It's most of what he plays, you know. I didn't figure you'd dig his scene.
Yeah, well, I didn't. I turned on the radio to keep me awake, not for music appreciation.
Uh-huh.
As it happened, I didn't find the music particularly mind-blowing. As a matter of fact, I remember the last number he was playing just before he signed off was Easy to Love, and I wouldn't call that exactly contemporary.
The main point is that you made the turn at 2 o'clock. You felt a jarring feeling, which jives with our information. Right, Rizzo?
Right, Lieutenant. I see. Your victim left Franny's restaurant, 518 Hills Point Road, at approximately 2 minutes to 2 a.m. Because victim was discovered by George Bates, post office employee, some 2 minutes later. He heard a car drive away, but due to adverse weather conditions, could not see it or make any identification. Victim was Dominic Capello, unemployed, 61 years old.
Well, I hope he's all right.
He's at the hospital. We don't know the extent of the injuries yet.
I feel terrible, that poor old man.
Professor Williams, let me point out something. From your story and our evidence, there is no clear-cut evidence that you did hit this man. Now, if I were you, before I went any further, I'd get a lawyer.
Oh, there's no need for a lawyer. I'm quite willing to face my responsibilities. If you'll prepare a statement for me, I'd be very glad to sign it.
All right. I'll leave you here with Patrolman Foster, who'll type up a statement. You just check it over when he's finished, and then if you still want to, you can sign. I'll be right back.
Lieutenant, see you a minute outside.
Okay. All right, Rizzo, what's biting you?
I think the guy's lying.
Upon what, for Pete's sake? Why would he lie?
To cover up.
Cover up who?
How do I know? His daughter, son, wife.
And why would he want to take the rap for that?
Ah, that's what'll take some digging to find out.
Oh, boy. 15 precincts in this city, 4 detective divisions. Not to get stuck with you. You want to make a federal case out of one sneaky little hit and run where the guy comes in like a good citizen and confesses and just for once make the job easy? What do you got to do? Go looking for trouble?
Now, Lieutenant, it isn't just the few small discrepancies. It's the whole psychology of the man.
Psychology? That's all I need. The new breed. Now, look, Rito. Will you for once just forget the college education and get back in there and have that statement signed, sealed, and delivered? And stop making waves.
Mother, please, will you let well enough alone?
I've kept quiet about too many things for far too long, but I can't let this go. I know your father wasn't driving the sports car tonight.
Okay. Okay, so he wasn't. So you know what that means.
Oh, my darling, I...
You want to get me locked up?
No, of course not. But why should it come to that? You don't know yet if you really hit anyone or hurt them.
I'm not kidding myself. When I pulled away, I tried to tell myself nothing had happened. But now it's all on the table, and I know that guy got hurt. And I'm scared. I'm scared of what they could do to me.
Darling, there's nothing to be scared of in being honest, owning up. It was an accident. David, please.
Will you let me go?
I'm only trying to help.
Oh, sure. Some help you are. I don't understand you, Mother. Look what Dad's willing to do for me, and all you want is for me to turn myself in.
I want you to be honest.
This is for laughs. I mean, Look, Dad went down there to take the blame so he could protect you as well as me.
Protect me?
Yes. He said it would kill you if anything happened to me.
Grant was worried about me?
Yes.
Don't you ever believe it.
Mom, how can you be so bitter? Look what he's done for me.
He's got to have an angle.
That's unfair. I know you and Dad have problems. I'm not going to try to make any judgments about
it. Oh, but you do. You make them every day in spite of yourself. And always against me.
Mother, I've had just about as much of this as I can take.
You know, the curious thing is that I know you love me in spite of everything. Just give me a moment.
What is it?
I owe us damn much chance, do I? I spend so much time upstairs with myself. Very lonely with just yourself. I'm a woman not quite able to cope. A woman with hallucinations. Is it? It's something out of Dickens. Living among cobwebs of near insanity and the ghosts of what never was.
Mother.
Look, it's time I told you. Time I try to tell somebody. I'm a prisoner with a life sentence. Because I can't stop loving. To everyone else, I'm the ghost. But the truth is that the real corruption lies rotting in the very man we both love. David, I don't want to ever see you become like him. I would rather see you dead. That's why I want you to take your own troubles on your own shoulders.
Mom, don't you think you ought to lie down? I mean, you're not...
It's easy, isn't it, to find a scapegoat, to make someone else responsible. Poor, mad, wasted Marion Williams, married to that intelligent, handsome man, respected by his faculty, worshipped by his students, particularly the girls. Oh, yes, particularly the girls.
Oh, Mother, for Pete's sake.
No, this time you don't stop me. I loved him so much I forgave all those early affairs. The young children invaded, cheapened. I saved him. I went to those girls. I begged them off. And after you came, the pattern continued. I began to retreat farther and farther. I had the money. That's why I could always keep him. And I couldn't stop loving him. That was the saddest part, wasn't it, David?
What?
I was the one who ruined him. Without me to cover for him, he'd have been found out long ago. So you see...
I don't know what you mean, Mom. I can't discuss what you've been talking about. But that has nothing to do with what Dad is doing at this moment. I've been drinking. I couldn't have gone to the police. Dad can handle this. Please, leave it alone.
And let you spoil yourself just as he did. The rot spread so fast, David.
The incident was totally minor in mine till I returned home, found that there was a dent in my front fender. Well, I've read this through, Lieutenant, and there's nothing here that isn't consonant with my earlier confession.
It's a formality, Professor. I prefer to have you read it aloud before you sign the statement.
If you insist.
It's better, Professor Williams. There is much more. Go ahead.
It's quite evident that I must have been responsible for striking with my automobile one Dominic Capello 61 at approximately 2 a.m. on the above date. This statement is a true and unsolicited confession of my responsibility in...
Excuse me, Lieutenant.
Close the door, Rachel. Come on in and hold it. You can go on, Professor.
In witness whereof, I set my hand... If you have a pen, I'll sign.
Lieutenant.
What is it now, Rachel?
Have you warned the professor again that he should have legal representation?
No, I don't need a...
I'll have to warn you, sir, that you may. The man was hit, just died in the hospital without regaining consciousness. It isn't just an accident anymore. It could be homicide.
Oh, come on, Rachel. Manslaughter. But it does change things, Professor. If you sign this, I'll have to book you. There's a problem with bail. You should have a lawyer before you sign.
Well, nonsense. I want to sign. Let's not waste any more time, and then I'll call my lawyer.
All right. Detective Rizzo, will you witness this?
Yeah.
You'll have to be fingerprinted, Professor.
Whatever you say, Lieutenant.
Foster will take you to a phone first to call your lawyer about bail.
Thank you, and thank you, Detective Rizzo.
Don't mention it.
All right, now, Rizzo, don't say it.
I've got to. Something's out of kilter. I never saw a man so anxious to get arrested in my life.
He just wants to get it over with and get back to bed. Now, who doesn't?
It's wrong, Lieutenant. It's wrong. A cool, collected individual like that doesn't go around hitting panic buttons and taking a powder out of a bad situation.
Now, Joe, drop it. Lay off. Don't give me any more of the psychology. I'm just a plain flat foot who came up through the ranks by sticking to one thing, facts. Let's give the guy a vote of thanks for coming in. My psychology is we leave it lay, huh? You got any other hunches? Save them for the ponies. Okay?
Okay.
What's on the bulletin, Rachel?
Ah, same old noise, nothing special. They picked up that mugger in the second, a repeater.
What's happening with Professor Williams?
Huh?
Williams, the professor. You remember the guy we spent most of the night with?
Oh, yeah. Well, he got fingerprinted and his lawyer sprung him. He's going home. Hey, look at this, Lieutenant.
What?
That code 2. See the man in the 12th? That suicide was no false alarm. There was a DOA. Only now it looks like homicide. They figure the girl was strangled before the gas was turned.
Oh, what do I care about some dame in the 12th? The 7th is my baby. Let the 12th worry about their headaches. I'm taking you off.
Marion, for the last time, you stay out of this or I'll...
You'll what, Grant? Kill me? You did that a long time ago. The only reason I clung to any shred of life was because of David.
And a fine little mama's boy you made out of him. The moment my back is turned, he runs to you. He blurts out the whole thing.
Oh, no, he didn't. I figured out what happened myself. I saw you drive away in the station wagon.
Oh, can't you mind your own business?
Because I don't trust you. And I want David to be a man and stand on his own feet.
Will you get something through that bird brain of yours? The man who was hit is dead. David had been drinking. You won't be emancipating your son. You'll be burying him in jail. Is that what you want?
You're hurting me, Grant.
Is that what you want? Or will you keep your mouth shut and allow me to do something for my own son?
Please, let me go.
Not until I get your promise to leave things as they are.
I don't want David to go to jail.
All right, then. I can trust you.
Yes. I only wish I trusted you. You've never done one unselfish thing in your life, Grant. I only wish I knew what it is you expect to gain this time.
A torturing dilemma for a mother and father. Is the father right to protect his son, or the mother to feel it would be better for him to take his medicine? So many other questions pose themselves. Questions which will be answered when I return shortly with Act 3.
You don't see many people putting salt in their beer nowadays.
Not that there's anything wrong with salt on radishes or French fries, but man, not in the king of beers. Truth is, the only thing salt can do for Budweiser is make it salty. An unwise thing to do to the only beer in America that's Beechwood aged. Unsalted Budweiser has become the most popular beer in the world. That's because in brewing Bud, the Budweiser brewmaster goes all the way for a taste, a smoothness, a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. And something else you can take without a grain of salt. The fact that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
We wish to thank the many listeners who have called and written KIXI, complimenting us on the new CBS Mystery Theater, aired nightly on KIXI at 10.07 p.m. However, we have received many calls requesting the program be aired on KIXI-FM every night instead of Sundays only. One of the reasons cited is the problem many of our listeners have in receiving KIXI clearly over their AM radio because of various signal difficulties. In an effort to eliminate these signal problems, KIXI has applied for an increase in power to 50,000 watts. We need your help. If you can't sufficiently hear us, please write KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. That's KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. Thank you.
Yeah, it's an early day, an earlier day Kickstarter there.
Nah, they're just begging for your letters. Letters, we get letters.
Letters.
Maybe that's what they had to use to justify a more powerful signal.
Yeah.
All they needed to do.
Radio Mystery. I can understand Radio Mystery Theater being used as the reason for a more powerful signal. I can understand that.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, all they had to really do was just get a great big long extension cord and just sneak down the street and plug it into the neighbor's house and, gee,
there you go.
Why are all the lights dimming?
I don't know. I don't know, but the radio's coming in real good.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't have the radio on.
It is now.
Oh, my. And there was a lot going on at this time. You know, they're trying to bring back radio drama, and it was such a cool thing. And I don't think radio can do that now. You know, you have to do it through podcasts. Instead of through regular radio,
we are.
Yeah, no, but I mean, even modern day dramas are brought the people doing audio dramas are coming through podcasts. It seems it's because the radio stations aren't there. They don't have the people, the personnel, the money, or whatever. Or just want to clear off spots to put something like that in there.
I would think you first.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, the only way you could probably do it on a regular radio station is if you got a really good sponsor. This is brought to you by Autolite.
Well, you know what?
We are still in this.
When I was in junior high, we had a George Wakeham Ford out of Canton sponsored the Lone Ranger on WHBC every Sunday evening. You know, and it wouldn't take much to do something like that, but again, you'd have to come up with it, and you'd have to go out and find a sponsorship for it.
I was just thinking of my
Lone
first.
Ranger was a cool guy.
No, I was just thinking of my first sponsor from when I was on Amherst City Cable was Hot Dog Heaven.
Wow, seems rather appropriate, you know?
Yeah, no, maybe. I don't know if I'm flattered or insulted, but regardless, you could be correct.
The answer is yes.
The answer is always yes, or 42.
Oh, my.
So I've been told. Oh, we're going to have some fun tonight. Got a little couple bonus things for you, I am sure.
Because we've got
a little bit of time here. It'll be fun. Bonus material.
Hello,
my goodness.
In the chat.
Thank you for bringing me back to Earth, CW. Hi, Fosbane. Ugga bugga boo. Good old Bob. Or Gob. G-O-B. He's a gob.
Gob stopper.
So he listened to an old BC radio version of Leviathan. Bradbury's.
Yeah.
1961. Christopher Lee.
Ooh.
Sounds good. Oh, we were scheming behind the scenes, gang. Wait till Halloween time. It's coming. It's around the bend. What, 6 weeks away? 7 weeks away?
Yeah, so something like that.
Spine-tingling. Bone-chilling.
We ain't saying nothing yet, but it'll be fun. I guarantee.
Well, the thing we're going to say is we got a whole lot of radio on that week.
Oh, yeah.
More fun than a barrel of zombies.
I didn't know zombies were fun, but okay. That definitely could be beat that, yeah.
Be fun to watch a bunch of zombies in a barrel.
Put them in the dryer. That would be fun.
Put them in the dryer.
Fluff and fold.
Oh, God. Don't fluff and fold my zombies. Have you gone mad?
Oh, darn. Forgot the fabric softener.
Yeah. They'll get all stretched
and
out. Don't stretch out my zombies.
Off the subject of our radio show, but we just had an article in the Beacon Journal how Akron, Ohio is one of the worst places in Ohio if there's going to be a zombie apocalypse. So I may be looking for a new digs or something.
What? Why would they?
I don't know what they determine. I don't know what the reasoning
is. Place for a zombie? Is it the worst place for people or
the worst place
for zombies?
No, it would be the worst place for peoples. Zombies will do, they'll do quite well, I guess. I don't know.
Quite well.
They have the opinion that people would just open their door and say, oh, it's just a zombie at the door. Come on in.
Yeah.
My,
some
do you
kid
look
trick
rabid.
Or treating.
Oh, my.
You look ravishing. You look ravished. Damn zombies.
Yeah. Oh, it's those Girl Scouts again selling those cookies. Oh, well, just buy some.
Cookies bring.
Cookies bring.
Hum.
I choose cookies. All right, let's wrap up.
All right.
Feature from CBS Radio Mystery News.
Those questions I mentioned. Of course, Marion Williams would feel herself hurt by her husband's interest in other women. Or is that all in her mind? A figment fantasized by her obviously shaky mental stability. But then, there is also the doubts of Detective Sergeant Rizzo. Let's follow him for a moment.
Yes? Is Professor Williams at home?
No, he has classes this morning at the university.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Excuse me, I'm Detective Rizzo. This is my shield. I wonder if I could talk to Mrs. Williams for a moment?
I'm sorry, but my mother, she's still asleep. She's kind of an invalid.
Then I wouldn't think of disturbing her. You're Professor Williams' son, huh?
Yes.
Well, then how about you take the chain off the door and I step in and ask you a couple of questions?
Have you got a warrant?
Have a warrant?
Now, what would I want a warrant for? Look, don't let me being a cop scare you.
Oh, I'm not scared.
You always keep a chain on when you open the front door?
No. Look, I'm sorry. You're wasting your time. My father told me not to answer any questions.
Oh, then you know about the accident last night, huh?
Yes, but I'm sorry. I've got to close the door.
You drive, kid.
Sir, your foot's in the way.
Oh, yeah. So it is. Anyway, I figure you drive since you got a license. I looked it up in the bureau.
Would you move your foot, please?
Hold it just a minute. Here's your newspaper, huh? You might want to read about the accident. Page 4. You know, check out the details.
Thanks for the paper.
Sure. Here.
Will you let it go, please?
You, weren't out driving yourself last night, were you?
I'll take the paper.
Yeah. And now I know my hunch is right.
Come on. Where are you?
Hello?
David, where were you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just bringing down Mother's lunch tray.
You should never answer the phone. Any mail? Any phone calls?
Just a couple of ads. No phone calls. Oh. There was, we had a visitor.
Who?
A Detective Rizzo.
What did he want?
He said he wanted to talk to you. Then when I said you weren't home, he wanted to talk to Mom.
Well, you didn't let him.
No. She was asleep, so he said he wanted to ask me some questions.
Good Lord.
It's all right. I didn't let him in, and I didn't tell him anything.
Well, I hope you didn't. He had no right, no right to... David, you're sure you didn't...
No, I didn't say anything, but I'm scared. I think he knows. I think he's guessed that
now,
I...
Now, listen to me, David. I don't care what he knows or what he suspects. He can't prove anything if we just stick to our story. Now, you get this straight, David. I'll kill you if you let me down. No, I didn't mean that. I'm just thinking about you. I don't want your life spoiled before it begins. Now, you just remember, a man has been killed. The real truth comes out, you're in trouble. Bad trouble.
I know.
Just so you remember, both you and your mother.
Okay, but supposing that detective turns up again...
He won't. You just leave that to me. Just leave everything to me.
I will. And don't think I'm not grateful. Oh, I don't know how I can ever pay you back.
You just sit tight and stick to our story. That's all the payment I need.
I quite understand, Professor. Detective Rizzo exceeded his orders. I promise you he won't bother your family again.
I'm sorry if I lost my temper, Lieutenant.
I don't blame you, sir. You'd feel better if you could get a load of how I'm going to lose mine. Good afternoon, Professor. Detective Rizzo, check in yet? All right, tell him to lug his rear end here on the devil. I'd have bust him right down a patrol.
You, looking for me, Lieutenant?
Yeah, come on in and close the door.
Jarvis on the desk tells me the Williams guy was on the phone having a fit.
Didn't I tell you to stop making waves?
Well, yes,
Did
Lieutenant,
I tell you the Williams case was closed?
It can't be closed as long as there's a charge.
That's up to the judge. Now, we've done our part. We have a statement and a confession. That's all we're supposed to provide.
Uh-huh. A phony confession.
What does that mean?
Now, look. That professor has a kid. Around 17, 18, huh? I talked to him today. I'll lay you dollars to donuts. He was the one driving the car when
you
that accident...
You have any proof of that?
No, but give me an hour with that kid and I'll crack
Why,
this case.
Why, Detective Rizzo? Strong-arm methods from a member of the new breeds? I thought today's young cop was exchanging the third degree for a college degree.
You know I didn't mean anything like that, but if you just give me a chance
Why?
To get to the bottom...
Why would a respected college professor, a guy as prominent in this town as he is, why would he risk his reputation to cover up something his son did?
I don't know.
I mean, this guy's a teacher. The last thing in the world he'd do is let his son run out on a responsibility?
Yeah, that's the way I see it. Psychologically.
Oh, psychologically. Now, let's not get tangled up with that bull again, huh? We have a confession, Detective Rizzo.
Lieutenant, give me a break. I got the strongest hunch.
It isn't any stronger than mine. And mine is, if you don't let this lay, like I told you, you're going to be back in your boondockers walking a beat as far uptown as these city limits stretch. Okay, Detective Second Grade, is this case closed?
Well, like you say, the case is closed.
David?
In the study, Mom. You all right?
I just want to talk a minute. What are you doing?
Just catching up on some homework.
David, that man, that detective you said came here, are you sure all he asked you about was the accident?
Look, Mom, I promised Dad I wasn't going to talk about it anymore. So did you. It's a closed book.
We're going to have to open it again. Did he ask you about anything else than the accident?
No, but...
Look, David, you have got to go to the police and tell them the truth.
Now, I promised Dad...
David, don't make me go.
You promised him, too.
You don't understand. Everything's changed. He has to be stopped. There must be some justice.
Mom, why don't you go upstairs?
Look, don't treat me like an invalid or worse, a half-wit. Have you read the newspaper that you brought up to me today?
No.
Do you know a girl named Susan Rowland?
Susan? Yeah, kind of. I mean, she was a class ahead of me at school. I guess I rapped with her here and there, but we never dated or anything like that.
Is that her picture?
Yes. Front page. What happened?
Read the story and find out. Carefully. Then you'll know why your father is so anxious to keep you quiet. David, you're going to find out why the truth has to be told.
Lieutenant Klamath here. How's everything with the 12th, John?
You know how it goes with lieutenants in the police department, from bad to worse. A little favor, George.
Name it, you got it.
You see the DOA we had on the bulletin, possible suicide, now definitely homicide.
The picture in the morning paper?
Yeah, that's the one. Susan Rowland, 19 years old, college student. We're running a routine check on all our acquaintances.
You got a make on anyone?
No. Fingerprints all over the place, but not even a warm lead.
Uh-huh. What can I do?
Well, I'm running down blind alleys. Like in her address book is the name of a guy, Grant Williams, domiciled your precinct. She seemed to have been in one of his classes at the university. Could you spare a man to check it out?
John, I don't even have to. I'll close one lead for you. What time did your little student get strangled?
Well, Emmy puts it at around 2 o'clock. At 1:55, she called her mother to say she was pregnant and the guy who did it was with her. She started to give his name. The connection was broken. At 2:15, a prowl car responded to a code 2, suspicion of suicide by gas. They broke in, turned off the gas, but the girl had already been dead 10 or 15 minutes. So, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, eh? Well, that lets out Grant Williams. 2 o'clock, outside of town, 45 minutes away. He was involved in a traffic accident. He's already booked.
One down, how many to go? Thanks, George. Sorry to bother you.
How long ago did he leave?
Too late for you to stop him.
Oh, I ought to kill you for this.
Like you did that poor little girl.
No. I didn't mean to. The little idiot refused to have an abortion. She wanted me to marry her. Marry her, for heaven's sake.
Oh, and divorce your meal ticket.
Marion, please help me.
No, not anymore. Anyway, I couldn't, even if I wanted to.
But David, maybe I can still stop David.
If you could, you'd still have to stop me.
And everything my father testified to in his statement was true, except that it was me who was driving the car, not my father. I hit that man, panicked, and drove off.
Well, don't look at me, Lieutenant. I have nothing to say.
You wouldn't have to, Rizzo. I know the boy's telling the truth. Yeah, you were right all along. I had a phone call about a half an hour.
I demand to see my son.
It's all right, Sergeant. Let him in. What is it, Professor Williams?
David, I don't want you to say one word until I've talked to you and we can get legal advice.
It's too late, Dad. I've said everything I have to say.
But you don't know what you're doing.
The first time in my life, I do. I'm taking care of myself. Oh, how could you do it, Dad, to a nice kid like Susan?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can clear that up, Professor. We're booking you for the murder of Susan Rowland.
Oh, you can't. I have an alibi.
Correction. You had an alibi.
But I'm not guilty. And you can't prove it.
We will. With your help.
But what do you mean?
It's ironic, isn't it? If you hadn't walked in here and made a false confession, we might never have had your fingerprints. That's what's going to nail you. You provided us with a whole set to match up. You were just a little too clever. You managed to hang yourself. All right, take him out and book him, Jarvis.
Dad, I...
Let him go, kid, huh? Let him go. There's nothing you can do for him. Now you go on with Foster. Let him type up your statement, huh?
What's going to happen to him?
He'll be found guilty, as he ought to.
And me?
You're taking a beating already. It's an accident. Won't be too tough. And things should be looking up from now on for both you and your mother. Go on, kid.
Okay, Lieutenant.
Well, I guess I ought to start to eat my hat, Rizzo, huh? But I'd rather just say I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Me too, Lieutenant. This is one time I wish I could just have been wrong.
When you're a cop as long as I've been, there'll be a lot more. And I wish I could say you get used to it. Come on. Let's try the squad room coffee.
All right.
Bad as it is, it's better than the taste I got in my mouth right now.
So Marion's intuition was right, along with Rizzo's. And David made the first long stride towards being a man. Something else I'd like to say about that, but I'll return shortly.
Harold?
Mm-hmm.
I'm cold.
Yeah, I know, dear. Now, I'll have this fire going in just a minute.
Are you sure you know what you're doing? We haven't used that fireplace in years.
Oh, there's nothing to it. Now, I'll just strike this match. There. Should be going good in just a minute.
Harold, isn't the smoke supposed to go up the chimney?
Yeah, it is.
A fire in the fireplace is one answer to the energy crisis. But the American Red Cross reminds you to be sure that your chimney and damper are cleaned and in good working order. In addition, build the fire toward the back. Keep screens around the fireplace. Don't use kerosene, lighter fluid, or gasoline to start fires. And don't leave a roaring fire unattended. For other tips on safety, contact your local Red Cross chapter.
Not every story must have a moral, but I believe this one has. Not that crime doesn't pay, that's obvious, but that the acceptance of responsibility is a cornerstone of life. The Apostle John has saved us Jesus' words. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Our cast included Arnold Moss, Ralph Bell, Clarissa Blackburn, Billy Redfield, and Christopher Tabori. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Do you know if your husband was ever married before?
Married? No.
Are you really certain?
Now, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that Dan's a bigamist or something?
No, Mrs. Carey, certainly not that.
Then what is it?
I may be completely mistaken, but you're the only one who can prove it one way or another.
Prove what?
About whether your husband ever called himself Don Crawford. And once, 4 years ago, David Chase. See? All the same initials, like Dan Carey.
You are saying he's a criminal?
Not just a criminal, Mrs. Carey. A wife killer.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Interesting story. Took a little twist there at the end.
Yeah, it took an awful quick twist at the end there. Yep. Sort of, they kind of hinted at it early on, but then no, it was a quick twist.
Yep. Do we have a moral today, David?
I suppose it could be called that.
There we go. Erie House Radio probably presents a garrulous moral of the story.
Yes, apologies to Gar. If you are guilty of one crime and confess to another, be careful. It just might finger you. I agree.
You know, before the show started, before you joined us even, Dave, CW and I were talking. I was enjoying a bunch of Jerry Lewis movies on Pluto TV, on like one of their classic TV channels or whatever. I mean, they had everything.
Wait. You were actually enjoying them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Visit to a Small Planet, Artists and Models, give me that title. Well, again, CW.
Rockabye Baby.
Rockabye Baby. Yeah. And it's funny how things. Funny how things tie together. Is that with our topic tonight? Then Jerry Lewis.
Okay.
Sunday driving through a million cars, I'm diving, no escaping, fender scraping, lest you hit a tree. Sunday driving, there's an ambulance arriving, a collision in my vision, maybe it was me. A lady driver signals left and then she makes a right. I hit her in the rumble seat, that isn't too polite. She screams, you beast, you awful thing, where do you think you're going? And I answer, don't look now, dear, but your rumble seat is showing. Sunday driving for a peaceful day, I'm striving, but each Sunday is the one day, cars are everywhere. Oh boy, here it is Sunday morning and I'm out driving in my car, and it's so peaceful and quiet, sun is shining, the boys is driving. Uh-oh, there goes the pedestrian. Shucks, I missed him. I think I'll go around the block and try again. Gee whiz, I must be out in the country now, I'm not hitting so many people. I am out in the country. I just hit a cow. This is a cow.
Right.
A car goes by me like a flash. He can't do that to me. I'll chase him and I'll show him I can go as fast as he. And sure enough, I pass him like a rabbit in a thicket. And I learned it's a patrol car when he writes me out a ticket. I must have made a boo-boo. Sunday driving, up the steepest hill I'm driving. I'm not quitting till I'm sitting on the very top. I made it. Now I'm going down. Boy, what a view. And look at that cliff at the bottom of the road. If I ever went over that, impossible. Not in my car. What was that? The motor's broke. Gee, I better stop. The brakes don't work. I'm going 50 miles an hour downhill. Now I'm going 60. Now it's 70. My motor don't work. My brakes don't work. But I'm not worried. My speedometer works. I'm going faster and faster. And now I'm going over the cliff. Gee, I'm flying, and in my car. Well, cars can't fly. I'll crash and be killed, and boy, will Dad give it to me for taking the car. He'll get me in the back room of the house, and he'll give me what for. He'll say the conjunctive mood of people feeling certainly don't designate the fact that other young men know better than others, and I certainly don't know the feeling if I don't know why other people feel that.
Next time, I'll take the train.
Instead of Sunday driving.
Here you go.
Very cool. You know, I had one early Jerry Lewis movie songs like that. It was labeled as Jerry Lewis Child Star. Is how it was labeled.
Really?
Because it was a 78 from the 50s, and that I think with that this one maybe as well, maybe from that same set.
Could be.
Yeah. Man child. Way before Pee Wee Herman came on the scene.
Yes. Yeah. And equally as annoying to some people. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't really care for his humor because it's very puerile. But that's the charm. That was the idea.
Yeah.
I think it's him being overblown as a genius. He did a few good, really good movies. And I kind of like some of his first movies he did after he left Dean but after that he kind of took himself too seriously and it was just so hard to deal with it.
Yeah.
That's true. There is one movie for you film aficionados out there that has yet to hit the light of day. It's called The Clown Laugh.
Yes.
And somewhere in the ether, there is probably, it's on a tape. Somebody has it. It's sitting someplace.
I heard it was so horrific he refused to let that be released.
Yeah, it
horrific.
Horrific. Yeah.
Like bad or like actually horrific?
Like bad. Like terrible.
Oh, bad.
Horrible.
Oh. Bad. Goat scream bad.
Ghost Scream yeah. Bad? Oh.
Yeah. Now, quite frankly, we've all seen our share of movies that were very poor excuses for a dinosaur to go extinct, turn into an oil deposit, and be turned into celluloid. So I don't think it could be possibly that bad.
I mean, I got a kick out of some of them. A few of them, like Who's Minding the Store, the Big Mouth, and of course the original Nutty Professor. I thought he was really good in that.
He was very good in that.
But the problem he had with that is he took that buddy character home with him.
Yeah.
when he left the studio, and that created a lot of rifts at home.
Art created life in that case.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Matter on that movie, The Clown Laughed, was something, a takeoff on Roberto, I can't remember the gentleman's name. He won the Oscar for that movie about the time of the Holocaust called Life is Beautiful. And I'm thinking that's where Jerry Lewis got the idea to make a movie on his own with that sort of subject matter. And also Robin Williams did something akin to that as well. Jacob Liar.
Yeah,
Robin Williams did a movie.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
We got enough time to squeak in a little more fun. What do you think?
Please.
I like to squeak.
Squeak. Squeak. How about some Benny bloopers?
Yeah, that's what
Somebody
we should.
Up for some Benny bloopers?
We haven't done that for a while.
All righty, let me just pop that on without any intro. Here we go.
I found out one thing. To win an Academy Award, you got to do a picture with absolutely no laugh.
Well, your darn one last year made it.
Wow.
Well,
think you got the idea. I don't mind when you ball up a lousy gag, but that was such a good one. Hello?
Hello, this is Mr. Benny's residence.
What?
Star, stage, screen, radio, and television if they ever get that stuff.
If they ever hurry up with that stuff, it's all right. Rochester, you didn't have to be nice to me. It was all right. Rochester, there's a place to park right across the street.
Can't do it, boss. I'll have to make a U-turn.
Well, what's wrong with making a U-turn?
There's a $2 double charge.
There's a $2 cover charge for that. No cross to. Boy, all I ask is one rehearsal. That's all I ask. Well, go ahead. Nobody's looking.
Jack, what happened? How come you're so late?
Oh, it's a long story, Don. I had a flat tire, and then I got tied up in traffic. And Rochester didn't know what he was talking about. And right out here in front of the studio, well, he was nervous. You know, a cop coming. You can blame him. You know. Then right out here in front of the studio, a cop tried to give me a ticket. I told him I was Jack Benny. He changed his mind fast. Well, Mary, it wasn't the sentiment, it was the money. I mean, it wasn't the money, it was the check. I mean, the sentiment. Now, come on, kids, we have a sketch to do. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight...
Oh, Jack, before you start the sketch, don't you think we ought to do a commercial?
Just one fellow, one fellow. That's all. One man read a line right. That's all. 13 years he's been living. What were you going to say, Don?
Well, I say, before you start the sketch, don't you think we ought to do a commercial?
A commercial? Well, yeah. What a startling and original idea. Yes, Don, by all means, let's be doing... Let's be daring. Let's be daring and do a commercial.
Okay, Jack. Quartet ready.
The what?
The quartet? Yeah.
Jeez. A little behind-the-scenes mirth from the Jack Benny Show.
Classic. Absolutely.
Wasn't
classic.
Even behind the scenes. Listen to that audience.
They didn't break the fourth wall. They smashed it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So much fun.
There's a certain something to doing a live show. And that's why I like hosting these things live, so folks can chat with us or call and jump in.
Or jump off.
There's a certain energy to it that I like.
Yes, and you know, if the blog talk happens to drop our call, oh well.
Yeah.
It's blog talk's fault. That's right.
It's always blog
talk.
Who's
blog talk? Whether it is
it's
or isn't. Hey, we got time for another musical number there, Dale?
Sure.
Hey, okay. I got paid, so I got a wooden nickel here. That's all I got left out of the paycheck, so it's all yours.
Well, I'm sorry. It was supposed to be a wooden penny.
I
overpaid you.
I don't have
you.
Any of those.
Shelley, Georgia, Diane, Harry, Clyde, and Max. Turn it on, Shelley.
Imagine you imagining that you love me, starting on a family tree.
Imagine starting on a family tree.
The mama is you and the papa is me. If your heart goes bumpity-bump,
it's love, love, love.
If your throat comes up with a lump,
it's love, love, love.
Sweet love.
If you need strong knockety-knock,
all is love, love, love.
If you cuckoo like the cuckoo in the park, it's love, love, love.
Imagine you imagining a cozy flat, complete with running dog and cat.
Just imagine having running dog and cat.
And we will have welcome all over the mat. Imagine you imagining a man and wife.
With all the pie, a fork and knife.
Imagine me eating with a fork and knife. Cause we'll be so rich for the rest of your life.
If your heart goes bumpity bump,
it's love, love, love.
If your throat comes up with a lump,
it's love, love, love. If your knees go knockety-knock,
it's love, love, love.
If you cuckoo like the cuckoo in the clock,
it's love, love, sweet love.
That's with you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady. Oh, who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall, who listens to radio? Only 150 million.
Wow. So what's on next week on Erie House Radio, Dale?
Not a thing. You can't keep a dead man down.
Unless you're feeding him Marmaladio.
We got Suspense, Crisis, and CBS Radio Workshop. And then,
but that's not just any suspense, Dale. That is a suspense from South Africa.
Ooh. The man who was dead.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we're going a little back and forth here with CBS Radio Mystery Theater next. Wait a minute.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I got the wrong.
Gee, what
a surprise.
ding, 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 ding.
Okay, you know what?
We have found a scheduling error.
We'll have a radio mystery theater surprise.
Yes, that'll be. Speaking of surprise, look, you should have seen me reading the schedule. Anyway, next Friday at 6:30 Eastern, and in about 1 minute and 20 seconds or so, you can just jump on over to them there Twitches and catch yourself some Horrible Horror starring
Yes. That'll do it.
I was so good our buddy was back after a 3 week, I wouldn't want to call it vacation.
Layoff.
Yeah, layoff.
Yeah,
we laid him off. That's it. You're out of here. No. Not at all. He hadn't been feeling well.
But he's back in rare form.
Indeed. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Fog's been a good old Bob, as usual. Just so much. And we will see you next weekend.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next her. We meet Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Yes, it's, ouch. Door hit me in the... anyway. Well, you get for standing too close.
Don't stand too close to that door. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Don't stand so. Close to the door.
I love Arnold Moss. I mean, it just shows with a little bit of practice, you can go from having a Brooklyn accent to sounding completely posh and chic.
Yeah, Jonathan Harris is another example.
Yes, yep. Him too.
Hated his accent.
Nobody
hated it.
Yeah, well, Robert Cummings hated his as well, and he went off and studied in Europe. And when he came back, he even used a British name instead of his own to get jobs because English actors were in such high demand on Broadway at that time.
Ah.
So he made up an English-sounding name and used that.
Robert Cummings, meaning what he had that show, Love That Kind of Robert
Love
Cummings?
Love That Bob. Yep, yep. But he did mostly did dramatic parts before that, so.
Oh, then yeah, that's doing, right. He did that with Richard Basehart. Richard Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea Basehart.
Yeah, that was the black book.
Yeah.
I got to host that one. Got to host that one.
Oh. A little mood music there.
Oh, yes.
I love these guys.
Can't wait for Halloween. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. But I was so depressed. My wife sent me to Walmart because she had to have they're a very special kind of pickle. It's a garlic dill pickle. And believe it or not, Vlasic don't make them. So
really?
I go there, and I'm looking for that sound thingy that, you know, that Gar was having a good time with last night. And they were already taking down the Halloween stuff. It's September 3rd.
What?
Why are you taking down the... Oh, yeah, we're going to be putting up the Christmas stuff.
I think that sound thingy came from Target, though, Dale.
Oh, well, whatever. Still, they have toys too. Well, I didn't go just for that. I went to, and I'm like, what? No. How could
you went
stuff
for the
in September?
You went for the pickles. You went for the pickles for your wife.
For
yeah,
I did.
Boy, if I haven't heard that 1,000 times.
Well, it wasn't pickles and ice cream, that's for sure.
OMG. Oh, God.
Those days are played out. Oh, God. We have our fuzzy babies now. Our furry ones.
Yes, yeah. Mighty Joe and Paladin.
Mighty Joe is right here. He says hi.
Hey,
Joe. Mighty Joe.
Hey, Joe, what do you know?
I don't know. He's demanding love. And attention. Too bad, Ken. You lose.
Does Mighty Joe do that late night cat bouncing off the wall sort of thing?
No. He never did. His sister did. His sister was a jerk. She always combated with him, and he's like the most chill dude. She, even when she was much smaller than him before she bloated up. She had some kind of problem. She was like, I think she had food insecurities or something. No, this guy's like lovable. He does this love leap thing where he like leaps into you and then rubs against you as he's in this half leap thing. It's weird. And Paladin's starting to talk. Paladin is like, almost forming sentences at this point. It's hilarious. In the morning, he makes this, ooh. And he's so lazy. It's like, bring me a biscuit. What? Are you crazy? Get off your fat butt. So funny.
Get the kibble. It's over there. I can't make it. I'm too weak.
Yeah. Well, it's not like we don't spoil him, because we do. He's a spoiled brat, but lovable. And he likes everybody.
Yeah,
I've never seen him be aggressive or mean towards anybody.
He's just waiting for the right moment.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, I always say, when my time is up, they always go for the soft stuff, so they're going to eat my face. I know they're going to eat my face.
Oh. Well, some meat tenderizer handy. Yeah.
Okay, so next week, Dale, for our Saturday show, the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Dead Come Alive.
Again? No, that's cool. The Dead Come Alive again.
Again?
Dead Come Alive.
You just can't keep a good dead man down.
You can't.
That's sort of a paradox, the dead come alive.
And actually, the crisis on that particular story, Dale, is it's almost funny. It's almost funny. It's such a neat concept. It's such a neat concept.
Oh. So what's the title
of
it?
Of how Jim French presented it, yeah.
What's the title of this? I'm going to write this down. What's the title of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater?
Is The Dead Come Alive?
The Dead Olivi. All right.
The Dead Come Alive.
So
that'll get us in there for next week. Where you can't keep a dead man down.
You can with a shovel.
Unless, yeah. Dig deeper. Dig that hole deeper.
Now, Dave, I know CW has seen it, I'm pretty sure. Have you yet seen Shaun of the Dead?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. And I know you like British humor. So you
yes,
would like
I do.
It. It's a comedy
yes.
zombie
yes.
movie.
A comedy zombie movie, I think.
Yeah.
I think I would like that.
Yeah. It's with, what's his name, Scotty from Star Trek, Simon Pegg, and his sidekick.
Yes,
they did a lot of movies together, Nick Frost.
Okay.
And they are a hilarious pair in this movie. It's funny. Simon Pegg is like, at first he's kind of unaware that there's a zombie apocalypse starting.
So this happens in Britain versus in Dave's area where it's
yeah, as long as it's not in Akron, Ohio. As long as it's not in Akron, Ohio, we're safe. Yeah.
Yeah, you have a chance at least.
That's right.
I'll have to look that up. Why is that bad to be in Akron, Ohio during a zombie apocalypse?
Yeah. I had no idea. You know, they don't pay these guys to go out and report news. They pay these guys to sit down and write articles like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice work if you can get it. Wow.
Oh, my.
And today's report, Akron, Ohio, home of the largest population of witches, rivaling Salem, Massachusetts. Film at 11.
Yeah. The Witches of Akron. That sounds like a good movie title or a novel. The Witches of Akron.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
Here's
that.
The premise. There are witches in Akron, but they didn't realize they would be in the middle of a zombie apocalypse.
How about the werewolf?
That's why it's not safe.
About the werewolf of Wellington.
Not enough people there to notice it.
I don't know. We have 10,000. I think we hit 10,000. We're going to be actually a small city instead of a village soon.
Hmm.
We might even be in the teens now.
Are you a hamlet looking to be a village turning into a township?
Something like that. I know they had. I know they whacked me with an extra school district tax. Damn them!
Ouch.
Yeah.
I guess they believe in education.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I must be away.
Alrighty.
Well, if you must, then there is something you must do before you go.
Yeah.
My task, my final task of the evening. Oh, knock, knock. Knock, knock. Mr. Durante.
Who's there?
Mr. Durante. Who's there? It's Mr. Durante.
Good night.
There he is.
Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night.
Oh.
What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Toodaloo!
Up we the things, and we could think and do. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week, when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.